back to work.
Commissioners, press, Randy Hayes, Travis, Casey, Dale, here.
He's up here, Randy.
Rick is on vacation. He's traveling through Iowa, and we just called him a few minutes ago.
Okay.
He had fish on his mind and nothing else.
In Iowa?
He's passing through. I think he was passing. I don't think he's fishing in Iowa. Doesn't he go further north?
Is it Canada or Minnesota or something?
I think he goes way up there in the edge here to catch the big fish. At least that's what the pictures, his Photoshop pictures look like. So.
Hey, you might
call Rick. I posted it, so I guess we'll start. You three gentlemen, plus Rick Zingenfuss, was appointed back to the new Taney County Transportation Advisory Board. You were mailed some packet of information. You probably haven't received them yet. So here is kind of how we revised it. David's kind of aware of it because he was helped advise help you guys. I got an extra copy of you guys. If you want. So what this is a reformation of what we were doing before. The biggest thing is we assigned individuals to districts, and the whole purpose to the districts was we felt like that if you represent a district, you would have more commitment to that area so that you are focusing on projects in that one area.
He's a loud talker, isn't he?
I didn't bring my big map down, but I can put it up on the big screen of what districts, which one of you guys have been assigned to.
Since the back page.
The back page, and then we appointed you guys to specific districts, which is, do you remember what you were told in an email and what districts you were assigned to? Can you pull up the last draft of this?
No,
I just got to email last week.
Okay.
Well, I had it on my calendar this morning before I got up.
So, what we're hoping for, absolutely.
I've left my case.
So what we're hoping to do, the reason we're trying to put together all this is the whole purpose is to not be behind the eight ball of what roads so we can get a recommendation from you. So kind of let me tell you a high summary of the whole scheme of the advisory board. We're hoping that each district comes up with a total of, where are you at? Seven top projects. So each district, you'll be required or asked to come up with seven projects from your district. Okay? Now, how you'll find out what projects are necessary is that we have contemplated having some meetings in those districts to help get feedback from citizens. We've got recommendations from Road and Bridge, Frank Preston. We also have some accident data. And all that information. And let me kind of explain it. So what we're hoping to do is get seven projects from each district. So seven projects, seven districts, that'll be 49 projects. What we are hoping to do is, throughout this whole process, and it's hard to print out, but myself working with MoDOT, and Arizona's MoDOT, Arizona's, I guess it'd be ADOT system, a formula process to come up with how do we rate a road of importance? And so there's a formula that we worked on. We kind of agreed, and I worked with Frank on it to see there needs to be some subjective material, but there also needs to be some factual material, such as accident data, and how much does safety weigh into the overall decision. As a commission, we came up and agreed to the formula that's the way we're going, but if it starts spitting out bad information, we're going to say let's revise the process of how we rank. Put points system with each road project, if I'm explaining myself properly so far to you guys. So what we've asked is that we start ranking or talking about the road projects that we've got on the table. Once again, we are, okay, there we go. Buddy is in District 3. Brian Spence was not able to make it. He had prior commitment. Rick is District 7. David, you're District 6. And Jim, you're District 1.
Do you have that map here?
What?
The map.
I've got it on my big screen. I've
got
it in the back page.
Okay. Okay.
Exactly. So, the reason we're trying to do is that we, once again, have a small deadline that we're trying to meet the deadline, but also we've got to start the process. The deadline we've got right now is July 15th. the Tiger II grant pre-application is due. And that is not that in-depth of an application, but what we're trying to do is get some...
Don't plug me in.
The Tiger II application is something that we were trying to get some feedback from the board to get you guys acclimated to the process and things like that. If I'm saying it right, what we have here, Frank, is specific to Tiger II. Some of the projects that were brought up for Tiger II, but we also have a lot of road projects that have been brought up in times past that we will kind of show you what district they belong to, so that that you guys can start looking and saying this project is a District 1 or a District 2. A lot of these projects, for example, East-West Corridor was a big thing last year. That would fall under multiple districts. It starts in District 1 and ends up in District 2. So some projects will be maybe on both lists. So we may not get total 49 projects. We may get less than 49 if a project would span multiple districts, such as the 160 expansion. That would go from a District 4, maybe even a District 5, 4, and 3, possibly, because that may be a top priority for all three of those districts. But what we're hoping to do is get a prioritization and people acclimated to know that you represent the Department of Transportation, and you start bringing suggestions to the Transportation Board to advise. What we'll do is help put a point system to all those projects as a commission to give you back that data. Frank is offering his resources to give you whatever information you need from whatever criteria. From if it's safety, if it's congestion, if it's economic growth. Ron Hausman in economic development, we're in the process of finalizing economic development director. They will be able to provide information because some of that information is criteria for the point system. Let me answer questions. Let us answer questions that you guys have, giving you the 50,000.
Quick question. How about District 2 and 4? Are they just not appointed yet?
They are not appointed. We've got some feedback.
I had a call last night. Charles MacArthur wanted to be appointed, but we're not posted for appointees. I don't know whether we can do that to vote to the commission at this time or not. But,
MacArthur? Mm-hmm. Okay. And then is it Joe Reese also?
Joe Reese also had shown interest.
And you had somebody else? David Oliphant. Dave Oliphant.
And Robert Craig.
Robert Craig.
That were in those other districts.
What we had hoped to do is that find an individual, their home address, putting them in the proper district of where they live. Because we felt like that before. It didn't work out as well. I'm going to be honest here. We have tried to stay to that, but we didn't limit ourselves to exclusively that.
Has he had any feedback from the city of Hollister area residents there and where they may be trying to address some major concerns?
No.
Nothing in regard to
that? I have. No.
Rick's on the board, and Rick will be representing, I guess he's representing a different district, but that's why Rick's on the board, too.
Well, you got me down in Area 1. It looks like it extends, I don't know where that extends to, Arkansas State Line.
Yes, sir.
Forza, Port Royal.
It doesn't touch Port Royal, no.
Okay. All right. Very good. But Rick is coming on board?
Yes, Rick is on board. He's actually going to be district, I believe it's district 7 or is it 6?
I think it was 7, I think.
Got it. I think he lives in district, he lives in district 7. So, from that perspective, he'll be able to give some insight to the other district.
For the Tiger Grant, Jim, would we not want to follow the guidelines already set by the state of Missouri in regards to what we think would be a top priority on trying to address these bugs? And that safety, I know, is a major factor for the state of Missouri. As a matter of fact, they go on deaths in some cases.
Right.
In some areas. Do you have those guidelines, Frank, or do you have a recommendation on guidelines?
It's in the Tiger II grant application. Safety is one. Traffic congestion relief is another. Economic development is another.
It actually, in the prioritization process, if you go back to the third from the last page, the prioritization process, that is actually from MoDOT, and that's really what how our formula process worked. It pretty much coincides with what Tiger II was, which was safety, congestion relief. I think some of it was all based off of access to opportunity. So is it economic development? Can you get more cars to a difficult area of the city to help some economic growth? I know this was a quick meeting for us to try to get together and see if we could get a majority so we could start the process.
Once again, what's the deadline on Tiger Grant?
About the 15th?
So it's the 15th of July.
And that application is just a pre-app. It's not a lot of data to be provided. I think September is the big app. Mm-hmm. September 15th is the
actual app.
The grid itself is...
$200
million? Basically, what we identified was... The maximum size of any grant is, I think, it's about $1 million.
That's the minimum. The minimum is $1 million, except for rural counties are not subject to that rule.
The minimum can be down to...
For rural, it can be lesser than $1 million, but typically it's $1 million in metropolitan areas.
Yes,
I wasn't prepared to talk about Tiger II, I'm sorry. But the overall grant size is smaller than the Tiger one. There's a whole lot less money. They're trying to get money distributed out to different areas. There's a special section for just rural counties that don't have to provide matching funds. Now, the underwritten rule is if you can match some funds, it's going to move you up on the ranking because they can distribute more money to more projects. So the process between us, what we were trying to do is we chose six or seven projects that we felt were key intersections. None of these complete a project, but they're key intersections that may help congestion or start a project and take more of the approach of, I think Frank's thinking, I want to talk to you, was just to get the project started and do it in phases. So if you look at your page that Frank provided, Fall Creek Road, the intersection at 165, that intersection's a pretty big deal that affects the Branson area and I'm not sure what district. The 160-176 turnoff over by Rockaway Beach, that's a pretty bad accident area, congestion. There was an earmark that came in from Emerson's office that we couldn't do anything with because we weren't prepared for it. So I think we ended up giving back $450,000 that the MoDOT got for that corner that they couldn't do anything, is what I was told. So engineering was still a year and a half away, and the earmark money was dissolved.
Travis, have you done some preliminary engineering for the roundabout issues with Rockaway, or?
We've kind of done some preliminary layouts all along 160. The whole thing.
But Matt Seiler, mm-hmm. who's kind of been working with that over at MoDOT, he didn't have enough information and was familiar with the earmarks. The earmarks, he wasn't able to do any of it right now. Next project was 160 and F Highway. Which obviously is a congestion area. J intersection 76, that intersection is where the east-west corridor was going to either begin or end, depending on the concept behind that. I think that's when I gave some feedback to Frank on, which was if we're going to do the east-west corridor, which is really something that the board hopefully can, we'll move forward, but not in a pressing way, this intersection would go up until right behind Kirbyville, which would give Kirbyville some room for expansion if they chose to expand. On a map, we can kind of show you. I can show you what that thought was. Once again, it's just a suggestion. Maple Street and the East-West Corridor. Maple Street, which is where the beginning of, or the Hollister side of the East-West Corridor was going to begin. Take it from, right now that land is available. It's in, owned by a banking conglomerate right now, which was going to be known as the water park. If they sell it off as a whole, there's an opportunity that we may not get an easement. So we're going to, if that east-west corridor is ever going to be on plans, we have to make a decision before that land is actually sold.
you know, it's not, the Gage properties, Gages don't own that anymore. So by taking it to Maple Street, that would do two things. Obviously, secure the easements, get the entrance of the east-west corridor if we're going to do that, but also it helps Hollister for traffic relief to Maple Street. That's where, when they came and presented multiple times to us, that's what they were hoping to do, was get it to Maple Street so Hollister could benefit from that beginning of that road phase. Next thing is the whole Fall Creek Road. You know, it's another, City of Branson has done the extension part of Fall Creek. There's a significant part that's county maintained and owned that needs to be improved greatly because of the traffic count is going up. And we've got a hairpin turn that's 25 mile an hour. There was a fatality there last year. So there's, you know, Fall Creek Road. That's a larger project. I think that's a $5 or $6 million conceptual project. Then Coon Creek Road, which is changing the low water bridge out and making some improvements there. Obviously, we improved the intersections last year for preparing for the bridge traffic, but the overall road itself was not improved. We've got some, I think, camber issues, and there's no shoulders. There's multiple issues, and that's a very highly traffic. It's a cut-through road. It is what people use. So anyway, that's what Frank has prepared, a possible consideration projects for the Tiger II grant. This is strictly Tiger II. We've got a list of since I've been on board, I think I've got about 100 projects I've heard that we could improve across the county. It's either bridges, some of it's new roads, and all that. And that's something that we'll be prepared for our next meeting, because we'll hopefully have a full staff. One thing that, going back to the kind of the things that what we try to do on the transportation board was give more direction so that there was less confusion on what you guys' roles are. I think ultimately we want citizens' feedback to district people saying, this, what about this road? What about this concept? Or what about this? And for us as the commissioners to kind of take that feedback and let you guys run with the meeting after we kickstart it. So one thing we did include was we don't want you guys dealing with maintenance issues. So don't say, well, this road needs to be overlaid because it's just in bad shape. Unless it's conclusive there's a safety issue or some other congestion issue, let the maintenance fall on the road bridge department, and you guys would work on improvements to an existing road or an entirely new road, I think is what we kind of agreed to. And I know I'm doing a lot of talking, but if you guys, if I'm misspeaking or you want to jump in, step on my toe.
But also, as you meet, if you're going to meet with constituents in your separate districts, if there are maintenance issues, whether it be a safety issue, brush trimming, blind corner, any type of improvements that may fall within the scope of typical maintenance, I would like for you to bring those forward also, and we can address them as a separate issue. But as a point of communication, it'd be nice for those issues to be brought forward when we're talking about transportation issues.
Question. The east-west corridor has been in the plan or in the talking stage, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And as you say, Gage is no longer involved there.
Correct.
What precludes the county from going in and taking an easement type situation on an overall plan, if you will? If you have that overall plan, whether it's be drawn on a map, if that being part of the scope that goes into that. If you can get the easement now, you know, why not get it? You're looking at the future, that's probably going to be the most viable situation for that east-west area. You made a statement, Jim, and I'm sitting here wondering, well, you know, we got the availability of getting these, but why not take it?
Some good logic to that.
Is that, am I?
No, I think that's exactly the reason we trying to form this transportation board, is the fact that we want that kind of input as far as the 160 project that Jim talked about over here in Marion Woods Rockaway Beach entrance, the roundabout there. I think that things like that, the purchase of easement to start a project, while we sit around on our hands and property values could possibly increase to a point where we wouldn't be available anymore, or sale of property where you couldn't have expansion. I think to start as you start your talks and everything. Am I getting off base?
No, the thing with the East Coast Corps, I think, is it got under some serious pressure last year with the vote, and there was some population of citizens that thought this was I guess some of the feedback I got was, is that really a key project for the community? And so, from my perspective, I really wanted to kind of sit back and because we have a little time on our hands, not a lot, for the advisory board to come up with ranking of projects to see where the East West Corridor falls in under the advisory board's recommendations. I mean, we've never gone through a formal process where we're ranking roads and actually coming up with a short-term and long-term road project. We've personally picked some projects out, and the county's done them, and we've done them well, but we've never really taken a step back and said, give us a big picture of where you guys see the county going and where we need infrastructure put in. And so that's kind of why we've kind of stopped the East West Corridor, knowing that we've been working on this advisory board. We all working individually how we can revise it so it can be effective and get some results out of the meeting. And so we knew this, we were going to restructure and reform you guys. And so using that time, we're hoping that, I'm curious to see where the East West Corridor comes out, because our goal is not to be dominating your guys' meeting. If this thing gets kickstarted, we'll be participants, but not driving the meeting. And we would hope that the 7-member board will choose a chairman and they'll run the meeting for us. And we kind of take, like I said, a back seat so that you guys can talk about each road and which one's important, why is it important. So it's just not three commissioners deciding on these roads. We want some advice. That's why you're an advisor.
But the immediate issue at hand, the way I understand it now, could be the easement on the East West Corridor.
Could be.
Especially over on Maple Street. And I think that the longer we wait and not make a decision on them, the farther away that we might be in getting that without complications at this point. So I think that right now, that any time that there's an easement issue, it needs to be addressed.
I agree.
I fail to see why it wouldn't take, if it falls into that area, it wouldn't be addressed yet in the future.
That's how entrepreneurs take advantage of
deals. Yeah. Well, and I can tell you and you guys can help me remember when Justin Gage owned the property, there was some conditions of taking that easement, such as we had to buy, I think, a mound of dirt or a mound of fill or something like that. If I'm not mistaken, and we had to commit to taking the road, the investment part of taking the easement was well over $500,000.
Closer to $1 million, yeah.
Yeah, closer to $1 million. The easement itself was free, but the conditions didn't make it free.
But then we didn't go there.
So that's why we didn't act then.
But now, it's a different scenario since we're dealing with a bank.
Correct.
Or a lending institution.
Right. And another deal also was you're dealing with the college to school on some property that was sold that was going to be a complicated area there that is sold to college to school now. The school will be a lot more willing to work with people on a road through there than this individual was.
Yeah.
And so to get away from that particular subject all the way through, I think that if you're going to talk about an East-West corridor, which was Tiger 1, basically in the way it was all printed out, why wouldn't you go ahead and proceed with where the East-West Corridor would finally have a destination. If it's going to be, a lot of people said, if you're going to build seek federal funds, you need to look at it intersecting 160 somewhere in the future. You don't have to have it drawn. I mean, you don't have to do all of it at once. There's not any of the projects that are done all at once. If you go into Arkansas and look at the way they've done their project on from Harrison to Green Forest to Barrettville, as you will go drive that road through there, you see where they have bought sections of property, have already got it completed. Then you see other sections that are in process, but you can see the line where they're headed. And when they have worked on what they could afford, and they already had the easement bought on that process, they worked on that portion of road. I think that's probably within the roundabout over here on 160 and Merriam Woods and Rockaway Beach. You know, if there's land in there that needs to be considered, purchased, or even priced for an easement, needs to be looked at, needs to be talked about. Need to find out if we can get it or how it goes about to pursue the four lane or three lane to four side.
And just to let you know, I think they're going through a Tiger II grant for that application, yes. Right? Forsyth is doing a three lane of 160 through Forsyth as a Tiger II application. So they're doing their own application for that.
So I have the overall plan is that we can see how that ties in with that spoke when we're trying to go. Just like any of these well. We're not talking about engineering people. We can take a map over a circle around.
Right.
That changes. Train factors, forget about that at this time, but it's going to come into play. But at least we know, have some kind of concept of where we're kind of headed here. And looking at these easement situations, we're willing to give them, I think the county's remiss they don't take.
Absolutely.
I don't think you have nothing, you make no commitment, unless you're in a situation like a $1 million pile of dirt, then you simply discard that. But I think we should be looking at that.
Where did the information come from that the bank willing to give us?
I've talked to the bank many times. They've called me many times, and they've talked to Rick Ziegenfuss a lot.
And they're willing to give us?
They're willing. They just want to know what the plans are. I think they're looking for more than just give us an easement. They're going to say, what's your big plan? And what I said was, we're meeting as a board, and you know, he was transparent enough to say there's no buyers. There's no anybody interested in that parcel whatsoever. And I said, when we're ready and organized and structured, we'll get back in touch with you. But you know, I wasn't willing to make any promises or commitments.
Well, the county would be making any commitments. That's where that goes. Anyhow, overall plan through this board.
Right.
And we've drawn the circle. That's the overall plan. When it's going to happen, you don't know.
Right.
So you make no commitments, but it gives them some sales enticement in trying to
get rid of it.
I spoke also, Mr. Pennell, with the bank representative early on, and he stated that they're not in the business of being landowners, and they'd rather not have that land, and he was very willing to talk about anything that we had as a proposal for future improvements, because that would make that piece of property more of a sellable piece.
It's more partial. They become corner lots, and so the value and the more digestible for someone to buy.
And I would assume as long as the auditors come and audit that lending institution, that they continue to say, you need to get rid of this land. You need to get rid of this land. Because auditors will tell you that.
Right. But I want to make sure, I didn't want to spend this time talking about just the East Road Corridor. I mean, I wanted to talk, and I wanted to make sure we talk about Fall Creek Road, because you've got, I mean, the election that now, you know, the press is here, but I got a lot of feedback from the western side of the county after the vote. 50% of the people said, why didn't you do something in Branson? Well, I never go to Forsyth, so I don't care about the East-West Corridor. You know, and then the other 50% said, that's obviously growth for Hollister, which is still in my district. So my district, my side of the county, was very mixed on that whole tax initiative and the value of the East-West Corridor. So I started asking, what road's important to you? Fall Creek Road came up multiple times in the discussions I've had with people in my district. But people in, you know, over in Broughton probably don't ever drive on Ball Creek Road. So, I mean, you got to remember, we've got a very diverse county here. But I just wanted to, you know, I brought up East West Corridor, but I also brought up Fall Creek Road, because that's what the feedback I'm getting a lot is. They've created the extension for a cut-through, and now it still goes to a hairpin turn and a really improved but dangerous intersection down 165 and Fall Creek Road. So, you know, that's why I also wanted to make sure I brought that up in the East Road, and this Tiger II. There is literally, you could probably pick 50 projects that we could qualify for the Tiger II process. I mean, there's just that many needs out there in the community.
One of the things I'm hoping as this group moves forward is that we come up with a plan, and that plan becomes prioritized, and it meets the needs of many different areas of Taney County, but in not having a plan or a group like this that's functioning and moving in a forward progress, we look bad to the funding mechanisms, whether they be federal or state, and just having this plan and going through the process, whether it be decision matrix or the criteria that we're using, once we've completed that process, as far as future funding goes, we will look better to all the entities. And we, I hope to have a MoDOT representative on the board. I think they've committed.
This was a quick meeting. That's why we didn't get all the participants here. We already scheduled. I think you saw some emails of some future meetings already. We'll have better, much better participation. MoDOT has to sit on the board to, as an advisor for you guys. Frank Miller or someone like Frank.
And with the participation of all of those people, and not it just being just Taney County, but like yourselves, Mr. Miller and Buddy Roberts, that sits on the other board, we can think of things globally in a bigger picture and then mesh those ideas together and may be able to meet the needs of, say, a town or a township and Forsyth, and maybe meeting a need that MoDOT has, but without some matching funds is the talk of the day now. Without matching funds, MoDOT will not be moving forward. So I think this is a really, really valuable progress. I think it's something that we have to do, and I'm glad we're kicking it off again.
Quick clarification question on the seven top projects. As we talk to our district and we get feedback, there's the obvious ones that will probably come up. It's Fall Creek Road, it's a county road. And on the Tiger Grant list, I see like 176, which is actually a MoDOT mm-hmm. intersection. So that's okay to have on the road, on the list, as a MoDOT thing. How about if Forsyth wants two blocks over this way, 3rd and Apple Street or something, you don't want city projects as one of the top, right? Because that's...
We don't want city projects. We really want...
county or state?
We haven't really talked about that, but okay. I would think county and state versus county and city.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that state-state intersection is okay.
Let's go back to the easements for just a minute. County roads have got what distance?
In the what year we took it in?
Okay.
It could vary from what? What's the minimum easement we've got some roads? 20 feet? 30 feet?
They vary from 20 to 50.
So they put shoulders 60. On existing county roads.
Maybe
we'd have to have easements.
Possibly.
Because.
Okay. And that's not. We have a road standards, and we will provide that to you. We have passed and adopted a road standards, which now is 50 foot easement for all roads coming in. Okay. So we have a road standards of what the expectations of a road to be built in the county are supposed to be. So we'll get you those standards also, so you guys know. But yes, 50 is what we do now. We've done some 40s recently, but 50 is what we're all new ones. And then we've got some that are just the driving circles. I mean, it varies.
Okay.
It literally varies.
Okay.
I'd like to. I was not aware that the bank was willing to give. I think we, whether it's the advisory board or with the county commission, I think we should pursue that.
Okay.
If we can get that, we could get all the discussions, the Tiger One grant.
Mm-hmm.
If they're willing to give us that easement, we'll get it. Like Jim said, they said.
Without commitment.
Without commitment. And that's just one thing, and just do that.
For minutes' purpose, do you think we ought to have a motion? Because we've got a quorum.
No, you don't have a quorum. We need four. Oh, for us, you mean?
I thought Rick was the only one that's absent.
Well, the group is seven.
I'm sorry.
We don't have a point.
Okay.
We can do it as a county commission.
Yeah. Okay. But for minutes' purposes, though, so that
right.
we can,
and we should have
a motion and a vote.
So I'll make that motion that we ask Mr. Strauss to contact them since you've already visited with him and set a meeting or
start conversations so we can get us all on the phone together.
Yes.
Okay. Contact.
Okay with that, Jim?
I didn't hear all of it.
Motion to have Mr. Strauss contact the bank.
Which bank? It's the ownership banks. It's a group of banks.
Okay. Related to the easement, the first easement needed there on the west side for the east-west court. So that we don't let any more water under the bridge before we start to work on that. It's a no cost and no obligation. We need not to let that play there on the table, that's my opinion.
Go second then.
Discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 My next thought is, going back to east, still on east-west, is there, I felt like, shared your comments, Jim, of what happened as far as the tax and all that jazz. There were many that thought it was a project that was going to basically help one single developer, and a lot of people voted against it. A lot of the phone calls I got were against that. We, the county commission, were being directed by a developer. So that's what this board, one of the big things is, advantages is, if this board does the process that Jim and Frank have put together here, and we've got something that's not just, say, hard to say, politics or blah, 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 it's our different districts speaking, and the east-west or FIWA or whatever it is, and we've got data and discussion, then we go forward. And if it's those people that Jim mentioned that, well, I never go to Forsyth, it's not going to benefit me, but if this board shows that there's advantages to the county as a whole, maybe it's not going to benefit you individually, but it's a good thing for the county, and then in an indirect way, it's going to benefit everybody. Then, whether it's a Tiger or it's a sales tax or whatever type of funding it might be, then we got the support of the county as a whole. Not going to have everybody for it. So, I guess I'm saying we take this one action, and that's a separate thing altogether, and then, as Jim spoke to, I think you guys would work with the other appointees and do our projects. That's long term, but we got Tiger 2 is the short term that we need. My thinking, we need this board to help us which projects, and I don't know if Travis or maybe or somebody got more information as far as direction of the type, the size project, how many dollars, to help make those decisions. Do we want to send all these seven or these to one? Is everybody happy with them? Do y'all need to talk about that with us?
A couple things too. The next time this board's scheduled meet is the 8th. I think, David, you're going to be out of town. I got your decline because you're on vacation. I can't remember if somebody else declined or not. I was looking when Nikki sent it out to everybody.
Yeah, I accepted the next one, I think it was.
Yes, you did. I don't have that in front of me, but I really think at that meeting you guys can then make a decision if we're going to pursue these seven. The other thing, what we can email you to or physically mail, I think we got everyone's email address right now. Frank and I, I have some projects that I found over the years and files that were important to the county. I've seen many lists by Frank during various presentations. What we could do is at least put those by district and get those to you. Say, here are some projects that have been talked about and why, because there was some, I saw a list that Frank presented, flooding concerns, congestion concerns, safety concerns. In one of the presentations you did last year to us, I kept those roads. And we can at least give you some guidelines of, here are some more projects that are falling within your district, so you guys can at least be thinking about those projects.
Well, the seven you have here, Jim, have been reviewed by the commission that got together and worked these up. And, all seven of these, driving over this morning, probably popped in my mind. Because that needs to be done, especially when I come this way.
Right.
And, so, it looks to me like you've already picked the top priority.
But I may be biased, and that's the problem. I may be biased from the aspect of I think the East-West Quarter is good for different reasons, and Fall Creeks represents my district, but I don't have, 160, I'm sure Dan would say it's a great, 160 and, yeah, Neff is a great place too, but I just didn't want to make sure. I didn't want this list to be Jim and Frank list. That's why I'm avoiding it. And, I don't want that.
But I look at safety. Of course, the most important thing in this area here is workforce getting financial.
Right.
So you offset that argument. I mean, not an argument, but this looks like a pretty good list right here on the top set.
So what you were saying, Jim, was that's good. But you still want to wait till the
8th. I would like you to because
give you all time to chew on it some
yeah,
more.
Absolutely. You guys may want to call Danny and say, Danny, is there any other projects? Or you may say, Chuck, what is there any other projects? Or you may want to call Frank Preston and say, is there any other things? And I don't want you guys to be here for 45 minutes and say, all right, make a decision. That's what we've done in the past, and it's just been a disaster. That's why Nikki sent out all these meeting requests. What the hope was, we meet every 2 weeks for the first 3 meetings and then go into a monthly type arrangement. Kind of get this thing momentum started, get through the Tiger II grant process, and then settle into it. If you guys felt like you wanted to meet more often, we could. But you should have got, I think, 3 or 4 meeting requests yesterday sent email to you. And that's what the mentality is. Let's get the momentum started and meet the timeline of the Tiger II and then get into regular sessions.
I took these 3 meetings as one out, voted the other one.
Oh.
I got the 23rd, and I'm thinking, and immediately after that, that was from Jillian.
Oh,
I got two from Nikki, and it was July 8th, and then went to the 22nd. I'm thinking, well, I wrote down on my calendar the 22nd is where we're going to meet because all these others got canceled.
Yeah, no.
Who is our contact? Is it Jillian or
either one in the office, Jillian or Nikki, either one in there. I think one knows the other. They communicate really well.
You know, there's one thing to take into consideration, and I'm sure a lot of you have thought about this. At the end of east-west on the east side is KDOC Road and Bull Shoals Lake, virgin territory as far as development. Mm-hmm. Lots of potential right there.
Right.
Lots of potential. And I'm saying, you know, for the benefit of the county, and that's the way we've got to look at this, the benefit of the county. I think there is a diamond in the rough right there. It's Bull Shoals Lake.
Oh, I think Bull Shoals is a huge diamond in the rough for our county that people just get to.
KDOC Road is the closest one to it. And, you know, it needs some improvement to be able, in flooding times, to get out of the dock, to get to a ramp, to launch your boat.
That grant's already in place, and we're going to be working with the Corps here.
We've got to fix that.
That's basically what I was stating to start off with. You have to have an end to this east-west corridor road, and that end is either the intersection or the KDOC part that splits and goes to 160, or you only have 2 property owners. I can't get past the point that when we talk about all this, and when you talk about dollars, people that own the property that are willing. Joe Reich is at the end of the east-west corridor now. If it's moved, shifted a little ways, you have Joe Reich and Bill or David Lowry, and you're at the intersection of KDOC Highway.
And 160.
And it never was on a map to show. It always showed it coming up right there to the intersection of J and 76. So then you open up all that area that you're talking about that's towards Forsyth, and you can have a line set or a mindset on where it's going to intersect 160. I talked to Joanne Emerson about it, about the fact that you connect 65 Highway with 160, you're talking about federal funding for a major road connection. Let's see, it was, I forget the number that was put on it. The roads need to be numbered, and there was a road number that she put on that particular road that would be a connection between 160 and 65 Highway, both of them. So, yeah, and I think then whenever you go to the feds for grants or anything else, you end up with a greater opportunity to get monies for things whenever you have those things.
One of the feedbacks I got, after, I think, there was a list that came out from one of the district meetings that the High Road Extension was moved really high up on the list, and there was a lot of outcry saying that's ridiculous, and we all heard it on our side. I don't know how many phone calls we got. It's like, how can the High Road be a priority road in the county? Would it, So I went, at that time, when I was in Jeff City, I went and talked to Pete Ron and Jay Runderlich, and I said, why did that happen? He said, because you guys don't have your own list. We had to create a list for you. And so the other hope is that as we meet, we'll have a list that if Joanne Emerson or Roy Blunt or Senator Blunt or whoever the next 7th district person is trying to help us, if their earmarks are still allowed or not, or MoDOT's trying to help us because they got some federal funding that they at least know what our prioritization is within the county. Because at this point, we don't have a clear project list.
We have plenty of lists, just no priority.
Right, and that's the challenge we get. And that's the criticism I hear sometimes is that, why one road over the other? It's because we don't have a master list. And you kind of see back to the methodology is we're trying to take that seven projects from each district and then basically stack rank those and get us to a short list so we know what our short priority is and our long-term priority. And that list can always be changing every time we meet, but at least we have a list. And that's really, I think, one of the results that I'm hoping to get from these meetings as we start meeting. It may be a multiple months before we start seeing a list form, but we'll get a list. I mean, that's one of those deliverables I'm hoping at the end of, after a few months, that we'll have a prioritization. So we know where, I did have a question for you guys. One of the conversations we've had in one of our commission meetings about this is having each district person meeting with the commission out in the field for public to come in and talk about projects and all that. Would you guys be open to that?
Sure.
Yeah, sounds fine.
I mean, we could find community areas, and I know we're always trying to get feedback from the citizens, but we also want to make sure that you guys represent that district are accessible and all that, but we're hoping that you would say yes.
Make it an evening.
Yeah.
That further support the public input.
One thing we haven't talked about yet, and you all may be aware, but we met and we had HDR, Great River, and you just,
that's it.
And the issue came up on the Tiger 2 is the initial pre-application, there's not any dollars to spend there, but to do the application is going to cost. Either the engineer is going to do something for free, or it's going to cost us, and we heard as much as $75,000. So I haven't contacted the engineers, anybody else. So I guess the county commission needs to do that to see if they thought about it, whether there's anything they want to do for free, or what kind of cost. And we kind of divided these projects up because some of them had already had experience with some of these things. So that's an issue we're going to have to face as a commission. It's going to cost money, just like Tiger 1 did, to
do the process.
Take a chance.
And the Tiger 2 application was, it's a study. It's basically not an environmental study, but it's an economic impact study, I think is what it's called. That data is necessary to fill out the application. It's a little different process than it was last time. So we have some of that data, but to do it right, you probably need to invest into a study of something like that. And of course, we didn't put out a bid for that. We haven't talked any more than that, just that one conversation. But that's where the cost is going to be, is that a study to get the data that's Tiger 2 grants requirement. So that's
I think that the main thing is the education that's provided. When you apply for these grants and you're looking for public support behind the issues, I mean, I think a large mistake was even putting the East-West out on a taxable issue when people we didn't have an application like the Tiger One application was. If everybody that was going to vote on that issue had read that application or had that available to them, just one or two pages of what it meant would have meant to the county, then you also have the benefit of the public support versus your transportation plus your representatives, your state, your local. The same way with this the Tiger II application that we're talking about, the public support behind an issue instead of coffee shop talkers that don't have any clue what they're talking about, that you're even trying to, the purpose that you're trying to achieve, is a detriment to even getting something started. Now, you're talking about easements on this one end of the east-west corridor. We have, on the other end, we've had people that were willing to donate easements all the way to BB Highway. So you don't take those, and they will give you an easement. They don't think you're not going to do anything, but you could receive, I don't know what kind of documentation you would use, but if such and such took place, then this easement is available, or however, I don't know how it would be written up, but at least ways it would be something that would get a project started or have the availability of a project getting started. I know every time the states come to us and talk to us about things, how easy are these easements going to be, and are we got easements. Even the state, I think on the exchange, they were talking about that Springfield when we were meeting or something. Mm-hmm. They're talking about they had three easements they hadn't even got yet, but they've already, you know, got plans for different work.
So the cost goes up.
Yeah.
City of Branson, they went back on the office of the council. We had a 20-year plan in our minds as well. Some of those intersecting roads were in that part of the 20-year plan. You're already aware of that. But there, at that time, you know, we had people say, hey, look, you do this, I'll give you the easement. Well, we're not going to do this. That's fine. As long as we're in plan, and that's where we need to be here. But that some type of preliminary plan, such a change, that you at least talk to people and show people how it's going to do. And that's why in your tax situations, if you have these community meetings, you've already got them sold.
That's correct. That's correct.
You're not going to vote blindly on these type of taxes.
And if we have a plan and we're having these community meetings and all that, that they at least say this is there's a structure to it, that we're not willy-nilly and we're following a process, and they want to have that confidence that we've it's a thought-out plan. And so I think that there's a lot of benefits to the whole structure. This is the kickstart.
There's other projects throughout the county that need to be looked at and addressed that maybe not even hit the priority list here, but I know that somebody that's over here in this area is going to talk about the Forsyth Painterville Road. That's been a question and a talk about ever since I've been in office, is what we're going to do with that particular road because of the need of the possible bridge across Floyd Boulevard from that particular location and the entrance to Casey Road. There's going to be other projects that are in here that we just get through talking about that involve Little Shoals Lake, K Highway, Deer Lane, all those areas. So they may not hit the top priorities as we have them, but the things that the county's going to have to keep their vision on, or we'll end up in a stalemate of non-growth and nobody wants to support a tax, and those two combinations will kill you. You either got to have growth or you got to have taxes. And right now, people are not going to go for taxes, and so they're going to. You've got to figure out a way to have growth where you have the income coming in to support what you already have.
Yep.
And if you don't, it's a decline and deterioration of the road projects. People on the east that wouldn't be interested in what went on because I don't go this direction. Yes, they do. It's their interest because if this money doesn't come in over here, their road deteriorates into nothing but a gravel pile,
right,
sooner or later. And this comes up every 10 years as a voting issue. And those things need to be sold to the people and with this transportation board, with everybody's involvement, hopefully sends that message that, look, we're trying to do what's best for the county, its growth, taxes, or however you want to look at it. This is grant money, is just the free part of it that somebody pays down the road anyway. But you have to have growth or taxes. Nobody wants any more taxes, so you got to figure out how we're going to have growth. That's going to be one of the big economic development. And this commission is pursuing that through our economic development, IDA, all those things. That's what we're trying to pursue so that we don't end up in a collapsed road structure.
But yeah, there's been a lot of roads. I mean, you got Bird Road, Buchanan Road. Those are two roads on the Branson side. That Bird Road is the back road around the Super Center area. Buchanan's the road that services the high school and the intermediate school. You know, those are both county-maintained roads, and they both need to be improved. Well, we've done some work on them, but they're still, you know, Buchanan's a high-traffic road with schools now, and the bus barn's out there now, and we have a quarry active, and, you know, there's a lot of traffic on that, and, you know, is it set up for the traffic volume? I mean, I think it's pretty easy to say it's not, but you know, those are roads that you're gonna see pop up on lists. There's just a lot of, like Danny said, there's a lot of projects that people are saying, what about this project? What about this? And, you know, we may come back and say, we got to have more than, we may do 10 per district because there's just that many projects. It's just hard to say how this is going to evolve. I can tell you the commission, we're not set in stone about these rules. We will adapt it. In our multiple sessions before we adopted the change, you know, the thing is, can we change? Will we change it if the committee the board starts saying, really, we need to veer this way? I think we're all committed to it. We'll adapt the process to make sure we're getting a better end result. So, you know, if you guys read this through and say, this stinks, let one of us know, we'll adopt it. I mean, you know, this is just our version of taking a different step and getting a more diverse and more people involved in the process.
I think what ties it to, Jim, was the last time I was here, you had a flooding somewhere, and kids could get screwed. You know, that's the eastern side of the county, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, it's not addressed yet, but it's Corps of Engineers, but that's one thing we're meeting on. We got a 25-mile drive that they have to take.
That's those issue.
Yeah.
Well, and another simple thing, and whenever we talk about Forsyth Panyville Road, you know, there was one time here in the last 2 years flooding stage that the water had raised for another like 18 inches or so. It would have been over 160, and they would have had 160 closed. Now, where does that put Taney County citizens? If 160 is closed down here, it was right there by, it's not Blue Haven, it's Walleye Haven Resort. The water was up to the banks. They said if it raised another 18 inches, that it would have to close 160. Well, that puts everything that's on that end of the county on the Forsyth Panyville Road. The Forsyth Panyville Road's not anywhere close to being suitable for that. We have all kinds of situations. We got a 5-foot water raise that the state of Arkansas has already got implemented through Congress. I can't see that when you've got 5 extra feet of water and you have as much rain or flooding as we could possibly have, that couldn't happen again in 10 years. So we have to be prepared to have a road that at least carry a Coon Creek Road to find an example of the traffic relief that the bridge down here has not seen anywhere near the complications because of the amount of people that use the Coon Creek Road, and they use it because of the intersection. Pull up behind traffic going east or going back west, and if you're behind 3 cars, 2 of them will take Coon Creek Road. That's just the way it did because we improved the intersection. Before, I mean, it was like if you take it, your intersection, you're taking a chance on getting hit. those things that we'll be looking at, you know, the...
So one thing to expect from us, and like I said, if you guys need data, once again, what we're hoping to do get you an email of all of the roads by district. And you guys will get the master list, and you'll know what districts, what road goes to, what affects what district. We'll email those to you. And as you review that, if you need more data, you know, Frank Preston, he's got two people on his staffers that would be able to answer questions or get data. You can always contact Nick Yerdorian to get data. You've got our access to us. But what we're going to try to do is feed you electronically all the stuff that we've seen to get you up to speed with what the roads we've covered. That list will grow. I can just assure you that, you know, as we write that down, we'll review it and say, hey, wait about this road. And, yeah, it'll most likely grow. So you'll have a good kickstart of what we've been hearing from citizens over the years. And then you guys need to, you know, start the process. So we'll do our part to get you information. And then if you need information, you know what resources to get to us with. So, and then July 8th, we're going to have another meeting. And that's probably when we'll need to decide two things, Tiger 2, if we're going to do the application and the costs associated with that. That's something the commission will have to meet separately. But if you guys are still comfortable with this list of roads, and David, I know you're not going to hear, but you can always send us an email.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Or let the other community members what your thoughts are.
Okay.
That's really all I had scheduled for today.
I was going to put you on the spot. Do you have any info on the Tiger 2, what their size project, what their...
Well, Tiger 1 was like $1.5 billion, Tiger 2 $600 million, so there's less money out there. But on this one, the reason this kind of works better for you guys is $140 million set aside for rural areas, which basically the whole county would fall into. So,
$140 million in the state?
No,
in the country.
$140 million. Yeah, that's the thing. There's $600 million out there. If you figure that 50 states, you're looking at $12 million a state if they broke it up evenly. So there's
approximately 2,700 rural counties in the country.
Yeah.
Just to let you know. So,
in my opinion,
will they earmark 12 million?
No. No states can get more than 150 million. But if they go like on the first one, they broke it up pretty well among all 50 states. I think almost every state was awarded something. So assuming they do that again, you're looking maybe 10, 20 million from Missouri, probably. Just guessing. That's my opinion. But so we're kind of looking more in the $2 to $5 million range for projects, kind of the smaller ones.
The Tiger One, a couple things. The whole process is being investigated by Congress because, you know, even though Missouri got kind of pseudo in quotation marks our share, they didn't follow the guidelines to allocate why they would allocate, because, you know, projects were supposed to be able to complete in 18 months and, you know, anyway, they didn't follow the guidelines they set, but the money allocated went to each state, just not under the guidelines they had put in writing. So I think that's why, I know Kitbaum had already filed a formal complaint to investigate the process, and McCaskill had signed up onto it too, because there was some shenanigans going on.
And I remember right, MoDOT may be doing some applications. Did we ever decide on that?
They haven't ever really said.
That they'd be in that supposedly $10 to $20 million the projects they submit, as well as all the counties in the state.
Yeah.
And you said $2 to $5 million would be the...
That's kind of what we just talked about internally. I mean, that's not written in here. That's just kind of our opinion. They're going to go for the smaller projects a little bit. Spread it out as much as they can.
$500,000 per project, what I've been hearing, is what they're thinking about allocating so they can get a lot of projects. When I was in Washington for my last visit, I got to meet with the Department of Transportation, the lady who was over the Tiger One process. And she said, we evaluate every project, and you can request and write in your scoring sheet to see how your project scored, you know, if you want to do that. But their hope is smaller money with matching funds to get more projects actually implemented, what their hope was. So that's the bigger difference, because some of these grants were large in Tiger One.
Yeah.
I mean, massive.
Yeah.
Tens of millions of dollars, where they're hoping to get $500,000 now. On the rural projects, they're holding true to that, but once again, they said
any matching funds, even in the rural project, even though you don't have to provide matching funds in rural, the $140 million, that will help your chances in the rural if you can come up with some matching funds. So, I mean, they're looking, to, like Frank said, to, you know, the more money you can contribute, the better chances your project will get.
My only concern on the time frame of this, I guess, is July 16th is the pre-application deadline, which doesn't take much. But then they never really say in here when they're going to get back to you if they've pre-approved your pre-application. The final application is due August 23rd. So you have about
approved,
a month in there.
The pre-app has to be approved to get to the August 23rd.
Yeah. So if they take 2 or 3 weeks after that July 16th and you find out August 3rd or 10th or whatever that you're pre-approved, you have 2 weeks to get your final application.
Or D-Day fired.
Yeah. And you have to have some environmental pre-approvals. And so if you go with the pre-application, you almost have to be planning to do more than just that, because you got to be getting started on it.
But you have to be, basically, if I'm understanding the wording right, when I read through it, you have to be basically invited to submit your application. You have to be approved to submit your application, your final app.
At what stage, though, do you pay the fee?
For the final app.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah, so when you, basically, yeah, I mean, my concern is the same thing. They take 2 weeks to evaluate these pre-apps, and then we're first of August, and all of a sudden we got to pay for environmental because we were a finalist, and just a lot of hoops to jump through at the very end.
So you say you're concerned, Travis. Does that mean it can be done? What we just talked about?
Can be, but we'd be real busy real quick.
Lots of
help. I mean, it'd be.
But see, that would help from this commissioner's perspective. That would help me to justify spending the money if I knew that we got past the pre-app stage.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's what you're thinking too.
Yes, yeah. I understand your concerns. I'm just saying it's going to be a challenge to get it done that fast.
And
get it done.
And that's if they don't move. They've already moved the dates back once.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so who knows? It may take them multiple weeks, and they may give us an extra 30 days once they've let everyone know free. They've already moved the dates back once. Because aren't they saying September 15th they award?
No sooner than September 15th.
Yeah.
So.
They're talking about awarding the project money within 60 days and all that. So, anyway.
And one thing we hadn't really brought up is that there was kind of some talk, too, that we could combine some of these projects on that list of seven to where, you know, you don't have to turn in seven applications. There's disadvantages and advantages to that. Just kind of up to you guys decide how you want to do it. But, for instance, the two intersections on 160, we can combine those in one application if you want to do that. Well, it'd make the application process easier. The downside of that is it makes it a bigger project too, and if they shy away from bigger projects, yeah.
The environment, the studies, we're going to be able to do one study and hopefully and use that across all the projects, not do seven individual studies. We're hoping to do one study and use a lot of that same data. It may not be 100% of the same data, but a lot of the data we could be used in all the projects. Not all of it, but 17. Anyway, that's all I have left.
I checked my calendar. It's the 8th I'll be here, so the next one, the 22nd.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the next one I will.
Okay. Does the county sphere projects have any prioritization on any of these road projects?
Not on the road.
There's no correlation right now.
None whatsoever. Okay.
Be nice, but that's a master plan type deal, but it's not. Currently, they don't.
We don't even correlate ours. We put the asphalt down, then we rip it out to the sewer.
I'm saying that.
Yeah.
Were you getting copies of this, or do you need copies of this?
If you got copies,
I only have two extras, but I can send you the link.
We're
going to
send you a bunch of emails, so.
Okay.
And mail you some stuff, too.
So you can do electronic copy of it if you want. So.
Three gentlemen, we've said it before, but we'll say it again. Y'all have been faithful to this, and thanks for being here again and helping us. Worthwhile effort, I believe.
Hope so.
David, are we done with this?
Recess it? We don't have anything until 11. You want to recess till 11?
We'll do that. Yeah. Recess till 11. Go for it.
David, we have some issues with the gas company going through Branson. Do you also?
Up to you, yes.
We've asked.